to be sure she's all through.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you this morning from the 57th division of the Psalms. And the Psalms are inspired of the Lord. Beautiful words laid down like poetry that express the greatness of the Lord and so much in a way of instruction to God's little children here in this world. This 57th Psalm, as I was looking through the scripture this morning, it seemed to just jump out of the book at me. I pray the Lord would just bless us to be able to share with you some of the thoughts that He gave us earlier this morning, as well as what He might open to us as we're standing before you. We are dependent upon the Lord in the preaching of the gospel, and ask very much an interest in your prayers as we stand before you. Do appreciate so much the prayer that's gone before that asked the Lord to bless us in our preaching. And we know without His blessing, we will certainly be without that which we need in a way of preaching and in a way of hearing. We also know with Him we'll have everything we need. And that's a great, great consolation for you and I, for me as a minister and for you as those who are here to worship the Lord and learn from the Lord. I hope all of us do recognize our great, great need of the Lord today. All mankind is in need of the blessings of the Lord every single day of their life. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. Yet most or many of mankind, a lot of men, a lot of women, do not recognize that need. Do not appreciate what the Lord's doing for them every day. Every single day of our life, God allows us each day of our life, a day of life where our heart is beating and our lungs and our bodies working and breathing. And we give very little thought to those things until they start messing up. And once they start messing up, we're much more aware of them than we were before. But every heartbeat is just a gift of the Lord that He's given you for that hour and for that moment, for that time. And the health that we have, the natural well-being that we have, the natural blessings, the spiritual blessings, all of them are from the Father of Lights. Everything we have in our life is from God that is good for us. All good things come down from the Father of Lights. Every good and perfect gift. In Him there is no variableness, no shadow of turning, and we have such a Lord to look to today. And in this passage of Scripture, we learn a great deal about what He's doing for us, what He has done for us, what He'll continue to do for us. We should find comfort and consolation in the instruction found in God's Word. Psalm 57, He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in Thee, yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah. "God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Selah. "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. The psalmist here is crying out unto the Lord, and he's in trouble, and he's crying unto the Lord. What a blessing it is when you're in trouble to be able to cry unto the Lord. When you have needs in your life, when you have problems that arise, when your heart is broken, when you have things that occur in your life that you were not anticipating, when you have situations in life where you may be getting along seemingly in this world and you just feel an emptiness that's in the effort and all things seem to be so much in vain. You're just running full speed, going all the time. And seeing that the only thing that really happens to you in this old life is that you get older, you wear out, and eventually you die, and they take you and bury you. And that is what the wise man said in the book of Ecclesiastes about everything that life is without the spiritual things that the God of heaven has provided for us. Now, I'm not saying by that you can't enjoy the natural things of life. They're great blessings that God has given us. I believe it's God who clothes the lilies. It's God who feeds the sparrows. And the lilies enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and the sparrows enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And we as God's children have God's blessings every day. I said at the beginning that all mankind has every reason today to be thankful to the Lord for what the Lord has given us. Sometimes we fail to recognize that. Sometimes we don't acknowledge that. Sometimes it's not when things are going well we see it. It's when things start getting difficult. When you get in trouble. When you're overwhelmed. We sang that hymn last night. When overwhelmed with doubts and fears. Dear God, do my spirit cheer, I believe it says. We need the Lord today. We need His mercy. We need His grace. And notice that the psalmist here wasn't crying out for justice. He recognized and understood what I hope you recognize and understand today. That if we cried out for justice, the wage that we would receive that we have merited would not be a good one at all. As a matter of fact, the wages of sin is death. And if it's all we would ever receive from the Lord was what we deserved, what we earned, what we merited, what we got good enough to get, what we acted and behaved in a way to receive from Him, if it was all about us and us getting it right and God giving us what we deserve, then all of us have to say with Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death?" We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. We're like the leper. All we could cry is what? Unclean, unclean. Touch me not. I'm unclean. You see, David recognized what he deserved. And so rather than crying unto God when he was in trouble, saying, "God, you haven't been fair to me. I should be getting more than this. Things ought to be better than this. My life ought to be, I ought not be having this trouble. I ought not be going through this." No, he knew better than to cry that. The reason that he knew is because the God of heaven had touched his heart and had allowed him to see what he really truly deserves. I ask you, has God touched your heart and allowed you to understand what you really and truly deserve? The Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You see, I can preach all day what how good and how no good you are, how rotten you are, how you sin and come short of the glory of God. I may even make somebody mad if I declare that strong enough and as we ought to, according to the Scripture. If I tell you that we are where we are and that every one of us is a child of wrath, even as others, and that we're dead in trespasses and in sins, and that in and of ourselves we're separated from God, and we never have a will to come back to Him, a desire to come back to Him, but we're lost and undone, and if we die in that state, we would be cast eternally away from Him forever in a place of torment, and that would be just and right. You could get angry with God and angry with me unless God let you know already that I'm right on with that. And I believe when I said that to you that every one of you could hardly say with me, amen, brother, that's me. When amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me is sung, you understand I'm a wretch. I'm not someone who deserves His favor. I'm not someone who deserves His grace. I'm not one who deserves His goodness. I'm not one who's deserved His blessings. Even the salvation He's given to me in a temporal way, in a timely way, day in and day out. I can say with the hymn writer, God has been so very, very good to me. He's been so wonderful to me. And I haven't deserved anything. And yet He's given me far abundantly above what I could ask or think. So much so sometimes I'm almost afraid to call Him and ask for anything else. And yet mercy allows me to do it. And it's good to know that our God is a God of mercy. Our God is many things. The Bible says He's many things. He's all power. Our God is powerful. Isn't that good? Our God is powerful. He has all power. Jesus says, all power is given to me under heaven and earth. And He was able and is able to do the very will of the Father, to give eternal life to everyone that the Father had given Him in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. The God of heaven has all power. When He created this world, He didn't ask it or make a request. He commanded it into existence. And He keeps it by His power. By His power, all things consist. And we have a God who has all power. We have a God who has eternal and infinite love. A love that's inexhaustible. You know, sometimes our love kind of can seemingly run out. I don't believe true love runs out, but sometimes your love can kind of wear out. You know, you see couples fall in love, and the next thing you know, they've fallen out of love. And you sure see it in what they exhibit in their lives. Yet you and I know that to walk in love is not something we can do in and of ourselves. Number one, to be able to love one another as the Lord has taught us to, means we need to get that love in order to love one another with from God. And it's a gift of God. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of God. The love that we have for God came from God to us and allows us to love Him. And the love we can have for one another, for our companions, in a godly way, the way it's supposed to be, has to come from the Lord. Listen, if your home is together in a good way, you know good and well you didn't keep it together. I didn't keep it together. It's the Lord who's given us the ability to love. And God has taught us how to do that. You see, God didn't love us when we were lovable. God loved us when we were a totally lost, undone, unclean condition. And His love was an eternal love. I don't know how to explain it. His love never had a beginning, never had an end. He's an eternal God with an eternal love for His people. He loved us as the everlasting, unconditional love, and there's nothing that can separate us from His love. And because of His great love, He's shown us abundant mercy. His love gave us mercy. Why did He show mercy to us? Because He loved you. Why is He merciful to me? Because He loved me. Why did He love me? Because He saw fit to do it. How could He do that? Because He has all power. If He wasn't altogether who He is, He couldn't be anything that He is. He has to be everything that He is or nothing at all. Y'all understand that. Our God is a powerful God. That's why we want to preach Him as big as we can. How great thou art is a beautiful song, because it declares the greatness of God. And the greatness of God declares the greatness of His love. And His love is what has saved us, secured us. And His mercy is what has allowed Him not to destroy us right now because of the sin and the sinners that we are. The men and women, the sinful men and women that you and I are. If it were not for God's mercy, ye sons of Jacob would be utterly consumed. And God changes not. Isn't that good? The God who's merciful today is going to be merciful tomorrow. He's going to be merciful the next day. People aren't like that, are they? They might be merciful. Moms and dads, as good as they try to be, sometimes they are really understanding. Sometimes my kids will call me and say something, I'll be really understanding. Other times I'm not the same. Oh, I ought to be, but I'm not. Sometimes I'm a little short. Sometimes I've had a bad day. Sometimes I've had circumstances that affected me. Sometimes even when I want to, I don't have the power to be that. But I'm telling you this, the God we have has the power to be exactly who He is and stay exactly who He is. And He will not, cannot, will not ever change. We have a God who cannot change. And the love that He has for you will never diminish one iota. And the mercy that He has will never diminish. No matter how much mercy He's shown me or you today, He has just that much mercy, which is an inexhaustible amount for tomorrow and the next day and forever and ever. The mercy of the Lord endureth how long? The psalmist says this over and over. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Forever. And David is counting on that. He cries out, "Be merciful unto me, O God." I hope that's your cry this morning as you come this way. Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Sometimes we see other people and we see they're in great need and we say, "Oh Lord, be merciful to them." But more importantly, this morning, you and I are not looking at other people and thinking about what they need. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, O Lord, but it's me who stands in need of His mercy. I, today, need His mercy. I need Him to be merciful to me. When I'm in trouble, I cry, "Lord, be merciful unto me." And every single day of my life, I had a sufficient amount of trouble, a sufficient amount of problems to be crying unto the Lord, "Be merciful unto me." Remember the two that went to the temple to pray. Let us never be like that old Pharisee who would not so much, who didn't feel a need to bow his head, but looked boldly, very into the very face of God, and looked at God and said, "I thank you, O Lord, that I'm not as other men are." You see, he could see everybody else and all their problems, but he couldn't look inside himself for one moment and saw how great a need he was in. And there was that old publican that couldn't see anybody else. I don't believe even in the room except himself. And he wouldn't so much as lift his eyes up unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast and he said, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." You see, it's a great blessing if the Lord has struck you down and let you see, blessed are the poor in spirit. Hope you feel poor in spirit this morning. That's a weird thing to tell people that have come to church, isn't it? You know, unless you're in an old Baptist church or at a place where they believe in the sovereign grace of Almighty God, the one thing that allows you to be lifted up in this world is when you're able to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He lifts you up. When you're able to be down, you're struck down before you get lifted up. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't come to God in his power and His might and in His arrogance according to the law. He had to learn to be a fool that he might be made wise. He had to have a broken heart and blinded before he could see. He had to be struck down on the road before he could be lifted up and act as the Apostle Paul. As a persecuting Saul, he was just a detriment to the God's children and the service of God. It was when the Lord broke his heart. Have you had a broken heart? Well, I know some of you have. I've seen it. Matter of fact, almost everybody here, I've seen where the Lord's worked in your life, where you felt so low that you felt like there was no way He could have anything to do with me. And still, sometimes we get to feeling like that in this old world. You got an adversary, an accuser that's always present with you that will tell you over and over again, "Look, you've messed up too much this time. You can call on God, but He won't hear you this time. You've sinned just a little too far. You've gone one step too far. As much as you know, you ought to be better." Do you ever feel like that? As much as you know what you ought to do, as much as you know what you ought to be believing, as ingrained in it, as much as God has blessed you to see, you ought to be a whole lot more than you are. Do you feel that? Well, brother, I've got good news for you today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the promise is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that kingdom is not only talking about that eternal place that awaits us. I believe it's fellowship with the Lord right here in this time, where we have the kingdom of God, which is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. And I need some of that today, don't you? I get trouble and I need His peace. I need to be flooded with His peace. I need to feel joy in my soul. I need to be lifted up. There are times as I come and I cry out unto God. And listen, when you're down, he's low. When you're down, there's a place to go. Listen, God's little children have a place to go. And it's a seat of mercy. It's a mercy seat. Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." Oh, what a great blessing that is. Today, are you able to trust in the Lord? Are you able to trust in the Lord? Not all men are able to trust in the Lord. Somebody would say, well, is that true that a person is not able to trust in the Lord? Well, the Bible says, Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up again at the last day. The Bible says that those that come to the Lord come because God has first worked in them a work of grace and given them life and faith whereby they are enabled to believe, and then they are enabled to come. No man can come to the Lord except the Father which has sent me draw him. That is the work of Almighty God, to be able to believe in the Lord. It takes the work of God. John chapter 6 says, "It is the work of God that you believe on me," Jesus told them. They said, tell us what to do the works of God. Have you ever wondered, what can I do to please the Lord today? What can I do to be doing the works of God? Oh God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? How would you have me to walk? How can I serve thee? And that ought to be a desire that's in our heart. I want to have fellowship with him. I want to be a pleasing to him. And the scripture says, how can we do that? How can we work the works of God? It said, "This is the work of God, that you would believe on me whom he has sent." And I'm telling you, you can't believe on him unless he's first given you faith, enabling you to believe on him. But if you have that faith today, if you have that ability, if you have that given to you by Almighty God, I'm telling you today, as a little child of God, don't be like the disciples when they were on the ship with the ability to believe and not believe. Don't be like so many in the scripture that we read about who had the ability to trust in the Lord like a young rich ruler but walk away sorrowful. Don't be like men and women are today, like we are sometimes today, that are God's children who have the ability to believe, but rather than believe the Lord, we look at all the stuff around us and we get sidetracked. And rather, are you ever like that, where you don't trust him, where you should have trusted him? Where you're not leaning, where you should have leaned, where you're so troubled, where you're weary, where you can't sleep, where you're restless. You're sitting there worried about your children. You're sitting there worried about your family. You're worried about the church. You're worried about the country, the nation. You're worried about the world. You're wondering how we're going to make it. Listen, we're in troubled times, dear ones. If there's ever a time for God's little children to cry out, in this nation today, there's never been more of a need for God's little children, the children of God, to cry, "Lord, be merciful unto us, unto me." Not only be merciful unto my leaders, be merciful unto my family, but be merciful unto me, O Lord. And I'm telling you, without question, God will answer that prayer and you will receive his mercy. How do I know that? Because he's promised to do that. That's his promise. And David is telling us that. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." He said it twice. You know why? Because he felt the great need of God's mercy. That's not just here to take up space. There's not a single word in the Bible. Y'all know that and believe it. There's not a single word in the Bible just sit there to take up space. It all has a purpose. I may not be able to tell you that purpose. No preacher may be able to tell you. But I know this, it has a purpose, because it's God's word, and he's magnified his word above his name. He's preserved his word and he's kept his word, and you and I can count on it as his word. And therefore, when he said it twice, there's a purpose in that. And I believe that purpose is to emphasize the great need of you and I to cry out unto the Lord to be merciful unto me. And the reason he cried unto the Lord is because he believed that the Lord is. What a great blessing today to be able to believe that the Lord is. How would you like to be in this world right now and no belief in God? I get scared sometimes, but I'd really be scared if I didn't believe there was a God. And you see, my belief that there's a God isn't a wish that there's a God. I'm not just wishing there's a God. I'm not just saying maybe there's a God. I feel in my heart a sweet, sweet, precious hope, a knowledge that's in part. I don't have a fullness of that knowledge, but I'll tell you, as much as I seemingly can know anything. You see, if a man thinks he knows anything, he really knows nothing as he ought to know it. And so we express it in the terms of hope. But I'm telling you, of all the things, I know that there's a God. Listen, our God is in the heavens, and He has done whatsoever He hath pleased. And I know He rules and reigns. And in heaven all things are well. Listen, in this world we're in trouble, but not in heaven. And there's not a thing that's happening in this world right now that God is not only intimately aware of, but He's absolutely in control of. That doesn't give Him the charge of sin and say that God's responsible for sin in any way, shape, or form, because He is not the author of the confusion and He's not the author of sin. But I'm telling you, He ultimately is in control, and He suffers things to be, and even in He doeth His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" And that's the God we serve. That's the same God that loves you, the same God that shows you mercy, the same God that shows you abundant grace. Isn't that good that we got such a God? Listen, if He had all the love in the world and no power, we'd be in trouble. And if He had all the power in the world and we had no love, we'd be in trouble. But we've got a God who's full of love. He's God is love and God is power. I like that. That's preaching. I mean, that's preaching ground. I'm not saying I'm preaching, but that's, if you can't preach on that, you can't preach. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. He has an eternal love for His people. He said, "God, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." Every day we got to get up. And I mentioned it last night, but I thought about that manna. You know, Jesus compared Himself to the manna. He said, matter of fact, He says, "I am the bread of life. I am that true bread that came down from heaven." Those little children of Israel out in that desert with nothing to eat had to wait every morning for that manna to fall from heaven. That angel's food, that corn of heaven. And they went out and would gather a sufficient amount. And those that could gather a little gathered what they could. And those that could gather a lot gathered what they could. And they all brought it back together. And they meted it out, an omer for everybody. They all got their share. And they took care of one another as God's children. Great lessons in that. It's not lessons for governments. Hear me. It's lessons for individual God's people. Of how we're to take care of one another. And we do have a responsibility as God's little children to take care of one another. And if you and I would carry out our responsibility in that, you can't force charity. Charity is an action that comes from the heart of God's little children, and we ought to be willingly to give. As God has blessed us, we ought to be willing to share that and not to have covetousness take care of over our life. Governments can't force people to do that. It's God's people that are supposed to do that by the instruction given them from God's Word. I just wanted to get that part out. But they would take that and everyone would get that omer. And the best I can find, an omer is about 3.5 quarts of manna. What a meal that would be every day. And what did you have to do for that? Just go ahead and gather it. Where did it come from? It came from God. How much did you get? You got enough for a day. How long did that last? Well, it would last that day. If you tried to store it up, you tried to get a little bit more, well, then it would breed worms. It would spoil. It would do that. It's amazing to think about this thing that just shows up on the ground. How did you get it? Who labored for it? Where did it come from? It fell from heaven. It's the bread of heaven. It fell from Almighty God. What they needed to supply their natural needs for that day, every single day. Not for tomorrow, for that day. Except on the sixth day, they got a double portion, because on the Sabbath day, rather than going out to get it, they were to spend that time thanking God for the blessings of God and giving service to God, and rather than going out and gathering. And so on the sixth day, God's way so wonderful. On the sixth day, God would give them a double portion. And before they even knew why, they thought, well, we've got a double portion. We've got a double load. They didn't even know what it was for when they first got it. If you read that in Exodus 16, They got that double portion on the sixth day, and they came to Moses and said, "Look, we got double today, boy. We've got a bunch of it today." And Moses said, "That's because tomorrow you're not going out to get it. God's giving you that portion today, so to take care of you for tomorrow." God's little children, rather than listening to the Lord, they still tried to do what God told them not to do. Some of them tried to keep it and hold it over to the next day. And on those days that they didn't have that, on the day up through 1 through 6, up through 1 through 5, if they tried to hold it over, it would spoil and go bad. And on the sixth day, they could hold it over, and the same stuff, listen, the same stuff. You know why it was like that? Because it was God's angel's food. It was God, what God gave them. And it would be there. And then on the seventh day, there were still some of them who thought, well, maybe we can go get some anyway. And so they went out, and God rebuked them and said, "You rebellious people, you just simply won't trust me and listen to me. You want it your way." I want you to think about your life as I think about mine. Every single day, God's been right there with me. He supplied that spiritual manna, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in my life every day. Every day, He's been there. It's fallen every day. He's always been with me. He's given me what I needed for today, not for tomorrow. Sometimes I want what's for tomorrow, today. I don't get that. I got to take today. As a matter of fact, He's told me that I'm to live it one day at a time. I have wasted many, many hours of my life worried about what's coming tomorrow and what's coming next week, what's coming in 2 weeks. I missed many good meetings sitting there worried about what I'm going to have to do later and what I'm going to get to. I have missed much time worried about what I didn't do the day before. All that's past and done. And when the Bible tells us sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and we're to live right now doing what? Why can I work the works of God this moment? I am to simply trust in Him. And how do you trust in the Lord? Well, you take the faith that God's given you, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and you exercise it in believing, and you just trust in the Lord. You cast all your cares on Him. Don't reel them back in. You keep them out there. Cast them away. They're in the Lord. You lean on Him with all your understanding. Don't try to figure Him out. You know, the way that He fed them, does that make sense to you? Would you have done it that way? Would you have said, "Let's do it this way"? You know, God could have done it any way He wanted to, but He rained manna down upon them. They got to the place where that angel's food, they got a little dissatisfied with it. And they said, "Oh Lord, give us some meat to eat." Well, He did give them meat the first day to show them that He could do that. He gave them quail in the evening. At another time, though, they got so despondent about it, "All we have to eat is this old manna, this old stuff. We want something better to eat." Well, He let them know what it was like to eat. He bring quail down upon them so deep they couldn't have walked without shoveling quail. I've shoveled a little bit of snow, been in snow pretty deep. I've never been in quail so deep you'd have to shovel. But I'm telling you, the children of Israel were. Because when He brought those quail upon them, they wanted meat to eat. He said, "Okay, I'll let them have meat." And as they ate it, they got sick. And I'm telling you, you and I need to be satisfied today with what God has given us in our lives. He's taken care of us. He's clothed us. He's given us raiment. If we have food and raiment, we read in the New Testament, if you have having food and raiment, be there with content and godliness. That is a commitment to the service of God, and contentment is great gain. And if you have this, you have more than if you have the whole world and lose your own soul. I'm telling you, dear ones, we have great, great blessings in the Lord. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." This little church, we need to trust in the Lord. Sometimes I worry about our little churches, don't you? I see them seemingly in decline. I see a falling away. I see sometimes a seeming disinterest among those that, even sometimes when the congregations are relatively strong, there's a seeming disinterest that happens. It not only happens, and I'm not talking about a disinterest that's happening in you. I can't judge that. I'm talking about what happens sometimes in me. when the Bible isn't as important to me as it ought to be every single day. You see, the Bible is a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's my instruction book. It's my instruction manual. If I have something going wrong in my car, I'm going to the glove box, and if I can, pull out the instruction manual, and from the instruction manual, try to find out what's going on. This is God's instruction manual that's been given to you and I as God's children about how to live and how to think and how to walk and how to behave, and we go to it for our guidance. It is our meat and our drink. It'll help you in every single way in your life. I ask you, has the scripture been a help to you? And I hope every one of you can say with a hearty amen, oh, I thank God. I thank God for the many sermons that I've heard that have been a great help to me that came from the Word of God. I thank God for the songs that we sing that are really founded from the Word of God that declare Jesus and His glory and His might and His power and His salvation. I thank God for all He's done in allowing me to see and understand His Word. And yet sometimes His Word is, I'm more interested in what's happening on the news than I am in His book. And listen, there's nothing wrong with looking at the news sometimes. Sometimes I think you'd be better off to cut it off altogether. But we ought to spend as much time or more so. One of our dear elders said recently, he's tried to await that by saying, anytime I'm looking at TV or involved in any of those things, I always try to weigh it is, if I'm going to spend this much time here, I'm going to spend this much time in His Word. And that would either keep you a whole lot more out of that or a whole lot more in this, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? I'm not asking, I guess I am asking you. Wouldn't it? Would it you? It would me. And if you want to have better preaching in the pulpit, you let ministers be in this book more. And if you want to hear more hearing in the congregation, you let the congregation be in this book more. And if we all got in this book more, we'd see a healthier, we'd see a heartier, we wouldn't see lukewarmness, we would be more hot or cold the way we ought to be, and we'd be better able to trust in the Lord. Listen, this doesn't have a thing to do with our eternal destiny, but it sure has a lot to do with the world we're living in right now. And we sure need Him. I need Him, don't you? Okay. He says, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Isn't it wonderful to have such a God like our God is? He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God of wrath and God of justice. Don't play with God. He's not a God you play with. He's a God to bow down before. He's a God to reverence and to fear. It's a respectful fear. It's not a scared fear, but a fear like you respect your father, like you have a love for a parent that has loved you enough to correct you. And though you know they'll never hurt you, you're not disrespectful to them. You reverence, in a sense, you reverence them. The one we're truly to reverence is holy and reverent is His name. We show respect unto them. He says, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. You see, God watches over His children like a hen watches over her little chicks. And He keeps them under the cover of His wings, protecting them from the harshness of the sun and the heat. And that's how God is. He's not a mean, angry God that's in heaven for God's children. Listen, He has an anger, and it's a righteous anger. And one day He will show that to those that are the devil and his angels. They'll suffer for all that they've done contrary to Him. But I'm telling you, the God of heaven has children that have no reason to fear Him in that way. Because He's like that one under the shadow of His wings. He says, well, I make my refuge. And He says, until these calamities be overpassed. Now, when will these calamities be overpassed? Have you waited for your calamities to be passed? Have you waited for all your calamities to be gone? You know what I've learned about calamities? You got little ones and you got big ones. And when you're having a little one, you make it a big one. And when you have a big one, then you can see that one was a little one and this is a big one. And then something might come along to make that a little one or a big one. But everything, every day, you and I got calamities. I got trouble today. I got tribulation. I got problems. But I can be of good cheer. Because Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in me you might have peace. And that peace is not like the peace the world talks about. It's not like the peace men talk about when they say we're going to get together and sign a peace treaty. And they, as many have said, before the ink is dry on the page, the gunshots are firing. Because man's peace doesn't last very long. And I'm telling you, if the only peace you have today is what you have from this world, you really have no peace at all. I believe in a peace that passeth understanding, and I believe you do too. I believe in a peace that the Lord can give you without having to know how it's going to be. A peace that you can have when your old ticker is not ticking in time. And you can feel a peace. And if it gets in time, you've got a peace. And if it doesn't, you've got a peace. And if you live, you've got a peace. And if you die, you have peace. A peace that is there for God's little children in this time world. As long as we're trusting in Him, He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. And when we think about the Lord, we're not just thinking about the Lord the Father who is God, but we're thinking about the Son who died for us and paid the sin debt for us. And we're thinking about the Holy Spirit who's in your heart and every day leads you and walks with you and talks with you. It's really Christ in you, the hope of glory that you have every day. Listen, God's little children have every day a reason to say, be merciful unto me, O God. And we have every reason to say, my soul trusteth in thee. Listen, if I told a man I trusted in him, he might not be worthy of my trust. And to some degree, no man is worthy of the trust that only belongs to the Lord. We do have some measure of trust in one another. Wives trust in their husbands. Husbands trust in the wives. All of that's important. But I'm telling you, we should have no trust like we have in God. Because men will let you down, and as much as they might not want to, they sometimes will. But I'm telling you, when you trust in the Lord, you'll never be ashamed. Those that trust in Him will never be sorry that they did it. They'll never be let down. That'll never be a mistake to trust in the Lord. You lean on Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you love Him with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And we follow and keep His commandments, and we'll feel that peace that passes understanding in the midst of any calamity, which every day you got a little one or a big one. I don't know whether you got a little one right now or a big one. But I'm telling you, with God, all of them are little. With me, it's impossible. You ever been there? But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. The scripture says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ, which strengthens me. It says, without Him, I can do nothing. It says also, and I meant to get to that verse, but that's okay. We'll stop here because the time is gone and my watch is working. It says, will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Oh, one day they'll be overpassed. All the calamities will be over. Won't it be good when they're overpassed? Listen, upon the moment of death, the spirit and the soul depart from the body and go immediately back to the Father, who is the giver. And there in the presence of the Lord, they are able to see face to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And in heaven today, the spirits and the souls of God's little children are with Him in heaven, enjoying His presence today in heaven. I believe that's happening right now for those that are bodies are dead and asleep. You know what goes to sleep? It's not the soul, it's the body. It's the body that goes to sleep. The soul and the spirit are with the Lord in glory. And one day, the soul and the spirits of God's children are going to come with Him. And there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit. And that body that was sown in weakness is going to be raised in power. That body that was sown corruptible is going to be raised incorruptible. That body that was sown mortal is going to be raised immortal. And in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, that are those that are alive and remain. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And I'm telling you, every calamity is going to be over. Done. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. For God's little children that are with Him now, their calamities are already over. So we weep, yeah, because we miss them, but not because they're in trouble. Listen, their calamities are over, and they're in the fellowship with the Lord. Isn't that good news? It's good news for me. Who are they? Everyone that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world that has died in the Lord or with the Lord. And it isn't because they chose him, it's because he chose them. It isn't because of what they did for him, it's because of what he did for them. And what he did for them, just as he cannot fail and he has all power, he did it completely. And their calamities are over. And they're now seeing him face to face. You and I who are in this world still have calamities every single day. What are we to do in those calamities? We're to trust in the Lord. You trust. When you stop trusting, you remember you have faith. Use it. Exercise it. Trust him. You help one another. You share the word. Faith cometh by hearing. That means it gets stirred up, brought back to more a powerful way. And we begin to, and the more we hear, we ought to trust him. It helps me to hear people tell me to trust him. When I'd get a little shaken, somebody just come and say, just trust the Lord. It would help me. You can't hear that too much. Sometimes we might say, well, I know that. Well, do it then if you know it. Sometimes what somebody say, well, I know that. Well, do it. That's what somebody said. I know what you just said. Well, then do it. You won't have to keep saying it if you just do it. Believe. Do you believe? Do you believe in him? Then why are you so afraid? He cannot fail you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to be with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Why are you so worried? Hadn't he promised to supply what you need? What if I lose my job? Well, he'll give you another job. What if my heart quits ticking? Well, you get to go home to be with the Lord. What if it's off time? Well, he'll let you live with it off time. He made it. He can put it back in time if he wants to. And if he doesn't, if it's not his will to do that, he'll give you grace. And what if I get weak and I get on my deathbed? It says when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because the weaker I get, the more I'll see his face. I believe that with all my heart. My dad might not be able to talk to me this afternoon. He might not know who I am. And that might break my heart, but I'm telling you, the Lord who's taken care of him will still be with him if he can't call his name. The Lord will not leave him. He'll be there. He'll stay there. He will not leave him. Why do I know that? His word tells me so, and he cannot lie. He wrote it down, gave it to us. I know it's the truth. One day his calamities will be over, and mine will be over. Yours will be over. And until that time, you and I, in the midst of those, can trust him. Say, why can I trust him? I haven't been deserving of it. No, mercy allows you to do it. His blood on the cross allows you to do it. His death for you allows you to do it. And for you and I not to do it is to really bring a reproach on that. I want to trust him. Don't you? I want to believe him. I want to believe him more. When you see old Gary not believing him, you tell Gary, tell him, you believe him. Listen, you preached it, believe it. Sister Robin used to tell me that all the time. You preached it, practice it. She wasn't always nice about it either, but she made her point. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's a great verse from the Old Testament. Don't misuse it, but you can use it. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Sometimes you just need to be told what you need to be told in love. Isn't it true? I said to you today, little children here at this church, you trust him, you lean on him, you pray to him, you go to him because mercy's door is open for you. Mercy's door is open because not because I opened it, but the God of heaven opened it, and it'll never be shut. And when your calamities are over, then you can stop trusting because you'll be with him then. You won't need faith anymore. You'll see him eye to eye, face to face, and be able to praise him. Won't that be a wonderful day? We'll have a perfect knowledge. Until then, we got a wonderful gift called faith. Use it. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
I love you, my brother.